Hello, this is Death. Welcome to Neverwinter Nights' only podcast.
Sorry, this is really Adam Miller. Hello?
Someone get me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hi, I'm Michelle, a.k.a. Liso.
And I'm Dave, Eat to Serve.
And welcome to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast. How is everyone doing tonight, which is just you and me?
I'm doing all right, but I think Death already welcomed us. But what is this, episode 48?
Yes, it is.
My, how time flies. I feel like I just started today.
Huh.
Well, in this episode, we got Adam Miller, which is an incredible interview done by who? Done by you, right?
Yeah, me.
I thought that was your voice.
I'm to blame.
Now, it's excellent as usual. Legend of Neverwinter Nights and creator of the popular series Dark Waters.
Yes.
And, you did that a few weeks ago, right?
Yes, and it is ready to go in the show. And Dark Waters 2 was just released.
Right.
So, great timing.
Perfect. Like it's almost planned. Anybody that knows this might know that's far from the case, but hey, sometimes it works out, right?
Yeah, actually, this time it wasn't planned. I just happened to get a lucky hit. Because he was still working on debugging some things before he was putting the final release out. We also have unique custom content released by Johnny Ree, Hook Hands. And you find those on the vault. We'll have the link there. And he literally did hooks for hand replacement for pirates and thieves and et cetera, et cetera. They're really neat. There's a crude version, a mid-grade black one for all the evildoers, and a really pretty gold one with an amazing detail on it. And
actually,
you can go check that out.
I was going to say crude, when I read crude, I was like, okay, what, it's not like completed. It means it's gnarly looking. It's not like it's not crude.
Yeah, it's not the pretty one. It's kind of like that bargain basement one that you had to
gorgeous.
Pick up. And yeah, it's fabulous art. Yeah,
exactly. It's gorgeous. So when I read it's crude, it's like, that's not crude. It's gorgeous. But it's with a nasty beggar guy that has managed to afford to buy a hook. That's cool.
Patch 112 was released for Neverwinter Nights 2, but Dave, would you like to elaborate on that?
Well, actually, I just heard that there's an issue with the tool set that was then quick fixed. It says, if you're having a problem with the tool set, don't reinstall. Try to update again. Make sure you're fully updated. Because supposedly they did a quick fix on the patch. But if it's still not working, well, they're not going to release a patch for the patch of the patch. So if that's clear as mud, we'll put a link in the show notes to the BioWare thread.
And what's this about the CEP team?
Trey was talking to Barry Ebersol with CEP. And he said that the patch 1.69 for Neverwinter Nights 1 is actually about to be released, like any second. And Barry and Carissa, they hosted the podcast game on the world Anacolia. It was an awesome deal. And we're going to post an event interview and an upcoming episode of that.
This should be quite interesting. I'm looking forward to listening to that one.
It was a really, really fun event. It was awesome. Finishing up with this really cool sunset with dragons flying by beneath the airship is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Barry also agreed to do an interview about the CEP too, so we're going to get that
fabulous.
Going. Yeah.
Also, Neverwinter Night 2 Gold will be released in the U.S. at the end of April. 29th is the expected date. Includes the OC and Mask of the Betrayer. And tonight, for your listening pleasure, we have the Adam Miller interview. It was an immense pleasure, an enjoyable time. He was funny, informative, and we had a great time, and I hope you enjoy the interview.
Dark, dark on the waters, pale lit moon in starless sky, blow fast on the waters, beneath the fay that fly, morning shall come ere you die. Dark, dark on the forest, hoot and howl in barren reply, ride fast in the forest, beneath the fay that fly, morning shall come ere you die. Dark, dark on the meadow, silent blooms turn blinded eye, run fast through the meadow, beneath the fay that fly, morning shall come ere you die. Dark, dark on the waters, pale lit moon in starless sky, blow fast on the waters, beneath the fay that fly, morning shall come ere you die.
This evening we have Adam Miller. You don't have to be in this community very long before Adam's name starts popping up. Adam is known for many modules and projects in the Neverwinter Nights community. He has been a strong force in both Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2, with the most recent release of Dark Waters and Dark Waters 2. Hi, Adam. How are you this evening?
I'm doing okay.
Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your work, hobbies, all that wonderful stuff? Great.
I work in the healthcare industry. I'm a programmer, so I make web pages for a living, and I've been doing that for, 12 years now. My actual educational background is in as a biology teacher, and I was all ready to teach high school biology, and then I came to the realization that I could not handle it. So I ended up doing computers, which has been my hobby forever. Way back in the day, I programmed, I think back when I was 8 or 9, writing programs on an Alpha Micro, or it makes me feel especially old. But so I puttered around, and it turned my hobby into an actual paying job, which is great. I still can't believe they pay me to play with computers all day long.
And obvious hobbies are, modding, I assume?
What was that?
I said your obvious hobbies are modding.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mod. And just in terms of other things, I've got a family, so I do endless family stuff. I was telling the kids that, the real reason to have children, besides they're funny and entertaining and all that good stuff, is you get to play with kid toys all the time. So, I'll play with Legos and Tinker Toys and all that good stuff from my childhood and have a good excuse for it. So I do that, and I do a little gardening. I like to bake. I like to hike, get outside, especially now that the weather is actually getting nice.
Yeah, I see. You also like to crawl through caves.
When we were out in Bend with my son, we went spelunking, and it was entertaining.
I have been known to open up my children's Christmas presents and play with them and then put them all back in the package and wrap them. Well, my excuse is to make sure they work, but oh, come on. I'm not fooling anyone.
Yeah, my son's easy because I basically get anything that I would love when I was that age, and he just thinks it's the coolest. Emma's a little harder, the princess dresses and, dolls and things. But I end up having to put on some grand adventure where she's a princess. I think she was demanding that I dance with her at the ball tonight, so that was my hobby.
That's sweet.
She wouldn't dance with Sam, and Sam wanted me to dance with him, and she was quite adamant that, no, only boys and girls can dance together.
Did she stand on your feet and everything?
She's way too small for that.
That's right. She's only, 2 or 3? Or no, 4. That's right. Okay. Well, all of us, there's so many of us who have little children that I get the ages confused. So what inspired you to create modules in Neverwinter Nights?
Well, back in the day, I liked making adventure games, so I do text adventure games just for fun. And, you know, I did that on the Alpha Micro and the Commodore 64, and so I always liked doing that kind of thing and making games. I did a little bit with D&D back in the day, but not a ton. I'd actually go and save up my money from a paper route or whatever and go buy the modules and read through them, and I thought that was pretty cool. And then later, of course, I got into computer role-playing games, and BioWare did Baldur's Gate, and I heard about a year and a half early that they were making Neverwinter Nights, and I just thought, that's the game for me. That's perfect. And so I started planning and kind of laying things out, and the rest is history.
Wow. You've been with the Neverwinter Nights community since the beginning, pretty much, right?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't in on the first Neverwinter Nights beta test, but, you know, I was hanging out on the discussion boards all the time.
You have been involved with so many modules and projects. The list seems truly endless. I really have just been scouring everywhere. Are there any projects in particular you would like to mention?
You know, I've worked with a variety of people over the years. I had a lot of fun working with the CODI team, City of Doors Initiative. They were Planescape, and I've always had ever since Planescape Torment came out, there was a soft spot in my heart for the whole Planescape universe. And those were the folks that worked on the Sigil tile set, and it was a lot of work, but they were just great people, real nice people. Lately, the whole Dark Waters team, I've been working with those guys for a long time, years and years. So, you know, like some of Razvan's models, the ships and the flintlocks, and So those have been going out. And, you know, there are a lot of great musicians there. I'll talk more about them later and sing their praises.
Okay.
But I do a lot of my own stuff, too. You know,
right.
Like, I think Shadow Lords was, you know, I pretty much, there really wasn't a community when I was working on it yet. And so, you know, just made it up. And by the time Dreamcatcher came around, I was at a great place where I could go out and kind of pick some of the custom content that people had created. And, boy, I just stole all sorts of great ideas and tools, scripts, and, you know, really my projects were, you know, a reflection of where the Neverwinter Nights community was and all the great things they'd done.
I know that everybody has to want to know this. How do you come up with all those puzzles?
You know, lately I've been getting into playing casual games and other little video games, because I do try to actually play other games out there besides Neverwinter Nights or just doing my own module stuff. The next, you know, again, I'll talk more about where Dark Waters is going. But the next Dark Waters module has some kind of crazy things in it. So there's Lute Hero, which is loosely based on Guitar Hero. And there's a casual game called Bookworm Adventures, which is just awesome, where you spell words to defeat enemies. And so I have that kind of thing in the next Dark Waters. So, you know, just, you know, I'll take ideas from other games that are out there. Magic the Gathering got turned into the pirate card game.
Right.
So I will freely steal ideas that I think are great and try to see if they fit into Neverwinter Night somehow. And sometimes, you know, I try to think about what could I do with the Neverwinter Nights game engine. I think pirate cards came up. You know, I was thinking, hey, could I do pirate cards or some magic kind of game where you play cards? And I kind of thought through it, and sure enough, you could. And it was kind of fun to see if I could. And then, of course, too much coffee sometimes just it's come to mind. I'd try it out, and sometimes they work.
Okay. And I ask most of the modders this question. What do you think are the key components of a good module?
There's a lot of pieces, obviously, and different modules are going to be good for different reasons. I try really hard to vary the gameplay. So there's sections that are very combat heavy, other ones that are very dialogue. You know, sometimes it'll be a puzzle. Just so you never get bored doing any one thing. I also like to have
clear motivation for the players, so they know what they're doing, and they're rewarded along the way with treasure or romance or something, just to keep them going. Also, something that I try to strive for is letting the player feel like they're making meaningful choices. So if they want to be evil, they can be evil, and it matters. If they want to be honorable, there's ways to do that. So they're making a difference in the world and kind of how their character develops. And then finally, not too many cutscenes, which I kind of learned the hard way. any time you take control away from the player is not good unless you have a real good reason to do so. So Darkwaters 1's had too many cutscenes. Darkwaters 2 has a handful, and they're usually optional.
Well, Darkwaters 1 did have several cutscenes, especially in the beginning, but I really feel like it laid the story out really well.
And that was the intention, and it worked well for some people who didn't mind kind of, seeing what everybody was all about and getting a feel for the people that they're going to be adventuring with for the rest of the campaign. Other folks wanted to get straight to the action, and there's the opportunity for that. It says in the very first dialogue, go straight to the action.
Right.
But still, I think it was, it was kind
of... Well, I went through all of the cutscenes and everything because, I didn't want to miss anything. So that's just how I play, though.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Darkwaters and Darkwaters 2. You still have Darkwaters 2 in beta, correct?
Yeah, it's not really released. It's getting really close. And in fact, this evening, right before, I kind of got everything ready for the interview, I was doing the last fixes to, I think it was the high C system, where you could double your cargo if you did it a certain way. So you could just get twice the cargo for what you paid and make it
I only had one bug, and it actually stopped me from playing for a while, but I was going to address that to you later. And we'll do it later.
Okay. You can send me an email. I get lots of them. So. The beta for Darkwaters 2 has been going on for maybe 6 months. It is the longest beta I've ever had, and probably
it's a large project.
Darkwaters 2 is so huge compared to anything I've done before. I was very ambitious with all the systems and all the different things that I'm putting into it. I'm probably crazy for even trying.
It's a labor of love.
It is. Well, do you want me to talk a little bit more about Darkwaters 1 and 2 and the differences? And
yeah. Where did you come up with the story?
A long time ago, I think after Dreamcatcher, BioWare was starting up their digital download premium module projects.
Mm-hmm.
And so they asked me to, come up with an idea for a game to do a contract. And it was a kind of a wacky process, and Atari was involved, and so it was really complicated. But one of the ideas I pitched was a pirate game that had psionics, and I just love pirates and always have, and love the Monkey Island games. And there's in Dreamcatcher, there's a focus gem where you can do a little bit of psionic-y things, and I really wanted to do more with both of those. And the contract thing didn't pan out, and, things happened with the premium module and Atari that were just kind of bonkers. But I loved the idea so much, and I wanted to do something with it. So, I started out with that general idea and started to craft a story around it. And it's taken up the last, 2 or 3 years of my life, coming up with a story and the pieces I wanted to put in and ideas, and it's slowly getting there.
Yes, you truly do have a labor of love there.
Yeah, it has to be, otherwise I'd go crazy. It's just it's a lot of work.
Is it difficult to add voice acting?
The voice acting is something that was new for Darkwaters, and I hadn't done it with Neverwinter Nights. A few people had, and I thought, ooh, that was neat. And I really liked the way that it made a difference in kind of how you'd connect with the characters. When you hear the voices saying the words, for whatever reason, it makes a bigger emotional impact.
Mm-hmm.
It took a lot of work, finding good voice actors, and I got really lucky, and some great people volunteered. Female voice actors, you know, are hard to get. I have had a few really good ones. I had to bring in some people like that were family. My sister ended up doing some of them. And then the actual work, I use Audacity as the name of the program. So just a lot of time converting file formats. Lip syncing, figuring out how to get that to kind of work was challenging because there really is no tool that lets you do it within Neverwinter Nights 2. So I ended up futzing around with the hex editor a lot. And what I ended up doing, and I finally refined it to the point where I can take raw WAV files, stick it in a folder, run a batch file, and it turns it into the right file format that Neverwinter Nights 2 likes and creates the lip sync files that are, you know, they're not really lip sync, they're kung fu lip sync where they move around. It's good enough as long as you don't look too closely. So it's easier, but it's still a lot of work. And so I'll take a few hours chopping up a file and turning it into something that can work in the game. But I like the effect.
I am going to be doing voice acting for the Misery Stone.
Good luck.
Yeah, I've actually been practicing, so it's interesting. It's going to be weird.
Yeah, I ended up doing a lot of my voices just kind of out of need, you know, like little miscellaneous NPCs that I hadn't been able to assign to somebody for whatever reason. And some of them just are dumb and goofy, but a few turned out really well, and I really like the way Death turned out, and I think having him acted ended up making him a much better character. So sometimes it worked really well.
Okay, I couldn't stay out of this.
I knew it.
Will you please do Death for us?
Would you like to?
Here, let me see if I can get into character.
The main issue with Death is that he has to talk, kind of as a working guy. You know, there's nothing unusual about him. He just happens to have a job collecting the souls of the recently dead.
That's fantastic.
So I can only do that for a little bit, and then my voice gets shot. But my kids love it when I do the voice for them. And, you know.
Trey actually messaged me saying he wanted to ask you to do it. I knew he was going to cut in.
Yeah, I like
walked into it. You walked into it for me. That was great.
There's one, and I think I actually posted it year ago, where I have kind of a play that Death is putting on that I'm hoping to get into the third module. And it also has this kind of evil sidekick voice that was really fun to do. And, you know, I threw this stuff into Audacity afterwards, but it's kind of like if you ever watch Ren and Stimpy, it's the Stimpy one, yes, master, how can I help you? And it's just so much fun to do that voice.
Reminds me of Jay.
It's loads of fun. I do enjoy that part of voice acting, even though it's a lot of work. Yeah, but the other actors, there's some people we have that like do this for a living, and they're just so much better.
I'm going to be doing I forgot to pronounce it, Visanti, gypsy-like character, and I lived in Romania for a year, so I'm able to emulate a gypsy kind of flavor to an accent, and I'm hoping that I pull it off.
Yeah, accents are tricky. I fake some, and I am horrible at others. So
how did you approach creating such a huge series?
You know, there's nothing magic about it. You know, I started with what were the main themes that I wanted in terms of the story? What were the systems that I wanted to have in there? So like psionics and, well, if you have pirates, you've got to have flintlock pistols, and you've got to have sailing around and shooting at pirates and boarding actions and all that stuff. So there were kind of main themes, and one of the main themes is magic coming into the world and being a new thing. And there's also, you know, the idea that we have these three friends and who are kind of these, I think of them as kind of old teenagers or young adults, and, you know, haven't really seen the world, and kind of their friendship. And I think it was Ursula Le Guin talking about one of her stories, the mage ones, Wizard of Earthsea, basically saying that it was a story about young people and all the magic and stuff was incidental. So I tried to take that to heart, that it was about these characters who just happened to be changing the world. And in terms of the real practical stuff, I worked on prototypes and Neverwinter 1, because Neverwinter was, you know, it wasn't over, but the community was fading out some, and it had been around for years and years, and I knew Neverwinter Nights 2 was coming out, and they were going to let me convert things over. So I started prototyping in the first one, and that really helped immensely, so we could write and test and see what's fun and what wasn't. And the first two modules were pretty well prototyped out. The third one, which is the next one, was not, and it's much more open. The ending is open to some degree. I can introduce things kind of depending on the strengths of Neverwinter Nights 2. So one of the new things in Neverwinter Nights 2 is you can have custom GUIs, which doesn't sound very impressive, but you can do some really cool stuff with it. So, I've been doing a lot of that lately. So anyway, that's my approach.
Could you tell us about the team behind Dark Waters?
You know, it would be impossible for me to name everyone because the team has gone from a few people to a huge team to smallish and then back again. We've had, you know, like people had babies and jobs took them away and, you know, people lost interest and interest came up again, and this was new to me, working in a very large team and kind of trying to manage and lead a team was a new experience for me. I'm going to name some names, and I'm going to miss a bunch of people. PJJ is one of, and I can't pronounce his real name, but he's been around since the beginning, and he's this great guy, and he's one of the main testers, and he has probably played hundreds of hours of the game just over and over again. Rob and Eshni, I don't know if I've pronounced her name perfectly, but Eshni does the voice for Heather. They also did a lot of the music. I've also, they're the only people I've ever met in person when they bought me coffee once as they're driving through. Great people. Chris Serrani does, and I'm again not pronouncing this right because I only read names most of the time. He does Daniel, and he's just hysterical. I sometimes edit his raw voice files, and some of the comments can probably never be made public, but they're just so funny. Some of the modelers, Razvan, who I don't see as much anymore, but he made the vast majority of all the models, the custom models you see in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Danmar, who used to be huge in the community, did the lighthouse and the black spot model, and they're, you know, very professional. Tons of testers. Lots of other voice actors have come and gone. There's a woman named Wendy, and her daughter, who's a teenager, did the girl in the black spot, and every time I hear it, I just laugh hysterically because it's so funny. So, you know, the team is huge. There's tons and tons of people. I know I've forgotten a bunch of folks, but it's been a real treat, and Dark Waters is, for a large degree, their work, and I know I can't say, you know, Dark Waters by Adam Miller and blah, 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 but it really is just a lot of people who, and a lot of their hard work, putting time into this.
Well, I, for one, am excited about this next question because when I downloaded your modules, I was thrilled. You have an EXE installer.
Yeah, you know, and I don't play other people's modules very often, so I didn't realize that other people weren't doing it. I don't know how you do it any other way because it's so complicated, especially if you have a lot of custom content. I'm also using a campaign, so I've got a campaign folder, and the files go there, and there's hack files and, you know, TLK files, and normal human beings just can't figure out where everything should go. So I use something called NSIS, which is an open source installer, so you can create installers with it. And it's been just great, and I've ended up automating that. So I have this little batch file I run, and it, you know, sucks in all the different files and makes installers for all my stuff. And, you know, I can usually run it, and 15 minutes later, I have fresh builds of everything, which I can post, and it's great. I don't know how else I'd do it.
Over the years, I have gotten quite well versed at shifting files to various folders, but to have an EXE to just install everything for me so I could go play, I found to be absolutely fantastic. I literally have probably played hundreds of modules so far, and maybe a handful of them have had EXE installers.
Well, I can pass along the... There's a sample installer file. The tricky part is you have to create the file that does the installation, so it grabs files from certain directories and packages them nicely. And I can give you a sample one.
Oh, fantastic.
Might help with you.
Pirate cards, very unique. I do remember Magic, the Gathering game, and it's a very unique module. What gave you an idea? What brought the idea to do this inside a mod?
Well, yeah, I played Magic the Gathering pretty hardcore for a while. I think I still have a collection of cards. And then one day just kind of stopped and realized that, you know, I like playing, getting together with the friends, and I love the rules and kind of the concept, but I wasn't really into the whole collectible card thing. So I just had this wacky idea. This was back in Neverwinter Nights 1, and I thought, hey, could I do this inside of Neverwinter Nights? And made the prototype for Demon, and it actually kind of worked. And there's a person in the community, Jazael, who just kind of said, hey, can I help you with any coding? And I said, yeah, I'm kind of working on this prototype. And he looked at it, thought, this is awesome, rewrote the whole thing from the ground up, and he's actually a better coder than I am, and I learned some things just reading his code. And it worked. And, you know, there came a point where he kind of transitioned away from the community, and I ended up doing most of the work on it and adding cards and adding features. And then when Neverwinter Nights 2 came along, it was the first thing that I did. It has a custom GUI, and it's been real fun to work on. There's a lot of history there, so it's a very mature system.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it should work with, people have adopted it for persistent worlds, and, you know, it works with multiplayer. It works in single-player games. I've tried to make it really integrate with Dark Waters 2, so there's card-specific quests that you can do. You can find cards when you're off exploring in dungeons or wherever. And it's, you know, if you're bored, you can hang out in the black spot and listen to some custom music. And there's a little jukebox thing, so it cycles through about seven or eight songs and play cards if you get tired of adventuring.
Well, if anybody hasn't downloaded Pirate Cards, it is very unique. It is fun. And go try it out. What part of the module development process is the most enjoyable for you and the most challenging?
Well, I'm going to start with the most challenging. And probably the hardest thing, because it's something that you've got to do even though there's no real reward, and that's debugging. You know, I feel like with Dark Waters 2, I've been doing that job for 6 months, and it used to be so stressful for me. And I don't know if it's just I eventually gave up, and that's what I'm doing. I'm a debugger. I don't actually make modules anymore. But it's quite peaceful. You know, I find a bug, I fix it. Occasionally they're funny, which helps. And I keep thinking I'm almost done, and then somebody finds some new little thing. So that's always hard, and because making stuff is always fun. My favorite part is when I have a new idea for it, like some system, and it goes from idea to something in the game that I can actually play in a short period of time. The next version of Dark Waters has this thing called Alphabet Assault, where you basically have this custom GUI that pops up, and there's letters, and you click on the letters, and it spells words. You can spell words, and then you click an attack button, and it does something. So, you know, like A is, what's, A is for armor, and so you get an armor class boost if you spell a word with an A in it. And the longer words are more powerful and have a bigger effect. And so, you know, it's a dungeon crawl, but it's a dungeon crawl with spelling words. So, it's surprisingly fun. You know, I'll be testing it and, you know, my son will say, hey, let me try. And I'll go, no, hold on a second. I got this really long word that ends in T-I-O-N and I just want to. So, you know, when things like that happen, it's really cool. There's other ones where I have this idea and it sounds like a great idea and I try it out and it kind of works, but there's a lot of, Loot Hero is kind of that way. It's almost working, but it's been almost working for a while now. And it's might be a little too aggressive an idea for Neverwinter Nights 2. I think I can do it still, and it could be really cool, but we'll kind of see. It's kind of crazy.
Excuse me. Aggressive in which way?
Well, it's Loot Hero, which is based on Guitar Hero, is a rhythm game. So mm-hmm. you're basically tapping keys to the rhythm of the song. And the catch is that the song has to match perfectly with stuff that's going on in the game. So I'm having to count hundredths of a second to do things. And it turns out that's really hard to do, to have a very accurate timer. In Neverwinter Nights 2. But I think I did it. It looks like it's working now. I still have issues, but I think I can play, and then hopefully you can, you know, challenge the gods of rock and roll with, or something. I haven't figured out the entire story, but there's opportunity for high comedy, I think.
And I'm sure this is an interest of anybody who listens and anybody who plays modules. Any future projects?
Well, Neverwinter Nights 3 is probably going to take up at least, I don't know. It's going to take a lot of time. Some parts are built, and I'm really happy with the direction it's going. Actually, just about 2 weeks ago, I think I spelled out the entire plot and all the loose ends I want to tie up and the systems I want to have, and I think it's doable. Knowing my history, it's going to take at least 6 months to kind of get something that is playable together and probably another 6 months to work out the bugs. Maybe it'll be more or less. It's really hard to tell. So that's what I'll be doing for the next year.
Because you don't really do mods anymore. You just debug them.
Yeah, that's all I do. After that, I have ideas for kind of possible continuation. I'd really like to do smaller modules. These massive ones take a lot of time, and you know, there's such a huge delay between releases. Back when I did Shadow Lords, I cranked out 5 modules in 9 months, which is just insane for me to think of now. That just seems like such a huge pace, but I really liked it, and it would be fun to be able to do something where, you know, you download a game, play it for an hour, and, you know, go to the next one afterwards, or wait a month and you get another one. Because waiting, you know, a year in between is a long time. The catch is that for Dark Waters, because it's such an open game and you can sail around and visit islands in whatever order you want, you really have to kind of have these big modules with lots of different adventure ideas that you can choose from.
Right. I do have a question, and Trey and I both caught this. You said Neverwinter Nights 3. Did you mean Darkwaters 3?
Darkwaters 3.
Either that or you know something that the rest of us don't.
No. Talking fast with my brain. I don't really have any secret information at all.
Would you like to add anything for our listeners?
Well, let's see. I can't thank the folks who have worked with Dark Waters and not just worked on it directly, but sent in bug reports or just time playing. And there's people who gave their voices, their music, their coding, tons, you know, modeling time, just lots of skills, and I really appreciate it. I try, you know, every time I send an email to my testers, I say, you know, I really appreciate it, but I can't say that enough. It's, I would not, if it not for all those people helping out, I couldn't do it. It would just be too, I wouldn't have the time. And also the community, the Neverwinter Nights 2 community, it's been fun to see some of the stuff starting to happen around custom content and, you know, simple things like the hats. The hat explosion by, oh, and I can't pronounce his name either, Shazwar or something, who actually was a Cody person from a long time ago. But he had the perfect hats, and I was thinking, I've got a pirate game. I've got to have the right hats, and sure enough, they appeared. So all of the people in the community helping out, it's just been great. You know, people lending each other help. You know, that's why I stick around. So I'd just like to extend my thanks again.
Well, I have to agree with you. The community is amazing. And long live Neverwinter Nights 2 and whatever else comes out, because I've enjoyed the ride also. I've played so many modules. I've enjoyed so many modules and your guys' hard work. I can't thank you all enough either. So you've given me so much free, enjoyed time. It's just crazy. So I would like to thank you very much, Adam, for coming and doing an interview with us. And the guys at Podcast appreciate it. And I know our listeners will as well.
Oh, sure. Have a good night.
So everybody, you download a mod, get a game, level up, comment, and vote.
And goodbye. I need that song now, if you don't mind. I'm backlogged about 2 weeks. Souls don't make themselves, you know. I've got to collect them from your dead body. I don't know how I can do that over this internet thingy, but I'm sure I'll try somehow. Suck it down the TCIP, whatever. Perhaps you could plug yourself into the USB port on your computer. I'm not sure how you'll fit.
In our next episode, we will have an interview with none other than our very own Dave, a.k.a. Eat to Surf, where he talks about his Jack and the Beanstalk module.
As if you haven't heard enough of me, now they're going to interview me. But
that's how I got this gig.
Yeah. So I guess I'm backing in because people got to hear your interview before you actually were a host, right?
Right. And it's amazing I became a host from that interview, considering my internet connection was, oh, wow, had a lot of problems.
I thought you were going to say they gave you the gig because you had a good internet connection.
No.
How'd you get the job? Well, I got a good internet connection. You're dead.
Be sure to give us comments and feedback about coming back weekly. We'd like to hear your feedback. Haven't heard much yet about it. I guess you're just so thrilled and ecstatic about the fact that we're coming back weekly that there's no words to express.
They're scared stiff. No, we can't handle it.
Actually, we got a lot of griping because that we dropped to bi-weekly. A lot of people weren't thrilled about it. So hopefully they are re-thrilled about the fact that we are back weekly.
Yeah, we said in the last one that probably wouldn't happen right away.
We have an amazing lineup of interviews over the next couple of months between Trey and I. And Dave is going to do his first interview soon, too, I believe.
I've actually now got two lined up. So.
Ooh. Well, you're just jumping right in there. Awesome.
If you have any comments or questions, you can contact us at the show at Neverwinter Nights Podcast. Or you can leave us an audio comment or question via Skype by calling NWN Podcast. All one word.
Until next time.
Get in game.
And level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2008.
Hey, I have one last question, Adam.
Uh-oh.
Sure.
Has anybody ever told you that you sound just like Bruce Dern, the actor?
No. I haven't gotten that one yet.
Have you ever seen the movie The Burbs?
I don't actually get to see grown-up movies anymore. If it was a kid movie,
it's
I probably
an old
would've...
movie. That's the one with Tom Hanks, isn't it?
Yes. I've heard of it. That was like back in the early 90s?
Yeah.
He was the next-door neighbor. Oh. Dern plays the next-door neighbor, I think.
Oh.
Anyway, your voice resembles his, so...
Okay.
What, Trey? You're not going to ask him what kind of car he drives?
Oh, no. If he worked for a big gaming company, yeah, I would.
It's not exciting. It's a Nissan Sentra.
I used to ride
my bike every day.
Okay. He's a practical car owner.
I had to, when I first heard you talking, or when I was listening all through the interview, I was thinking, man, he sounds just like Bruce Dern, so. Sorry.
Was he the evil one, maybe? Just wondering.
Is he the evil one?
He was kind of mean in that movie, yeah.
Okay, there's a difference between just mean and evil.
Right.
Like Dr. Evil is what I'm trying to go for.
I think he turned out to be a good guy, though, towards the end.
Okay. So.